Jonathan, why you trying to dress up today, man?
I thought we had somewhere else to be.
You look good, though, dude.
I mean, I look okay.
I know you did. Why you tell?
Just okay.
You trying to look good for the people, aren't you?
I mean, no.
Hey, catch somebody on this show, man.
That would be great.
I know. Hey, all things are possible. Just believe.
That is true.
All right. Well, look. You ready to get started?
Yeah.
I don't have my water.
Some
water for the people. Jonathan. Oh. I thought you had my bag, man. I'm about to have anxiety.
Yes, you don't have your
water. All right, y'all. Look. So, look. What's up, y'all, man? This is Dr. Jewel. Y'all know me. Hey, it's me. And, man, welcome to this episode of Your Mind Matters with Dr. Jewel. I got my partner in the house, J-Bo. What's up, J-Bo?
Hey, Dr. Jewel, how are you?
I'm doing good. You look good, J-Bo.
I tried. I tried today.
Thank you. I like it, J-Bo. Well, y'all, it's good to see y'all again. And J-Bo and I, we were talking about this thing because, you know, like my young people say, life has been like lifing, all right? It's been kind of hard out here on these streets for a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people being impacted by just, you know, stressors of life changes, life choices. People's lives are changing. I mean, you know, I had a really a friend that lost, you know, their child. I mean, man, things are happening. And so anxiety, stress is real. So today on Your Mind Matters, we want to talk about this, J-Bo. Let's shed some light on this thing called anxiety, stress. Let's shine some light on this because,
yes,
you know, it's a topic that, you know, when I was coming up in church, they didn't really talk about anxiety and stress, you know. And then if you kind of present it like you had anxiety or stress, people would kind of
be anxious for nothing.
You get that one line scripture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where is that scripture anyway? Can we bring that up since we're going to start there out the gate? It's Philippians like 4:6-7. All right. I got it. Philippians 4:6-7. So this is the one line scripture. You all, we're going to start off this podcast with this scripture right here, because this is the baseline scripture that everybody going to go to when you come and say, man, I'm anxious, I'm stressed. They're like, baby, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and application with thanksgiving. No, that ain't right.
Supplication.
That's it. Okay, hold on. Let me start over again with that scripture. All right. Philippians 4. Y'all can cut this, right? Okay. Anyway. So.
Philippians.
A lot of people come out the gate with this scripture.
Yes.
Okay? And it says, be anxious for nothing.
But what?
Not a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Don't forget about
with
that one, right?
Absolutely.
Let your requests be made known to God. And then what happens?
The peace
of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
You know, I think I have another one.
What you got?
That whole in Matthew 6:25, don't worry about anything. Mm. About what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. What you're going to wear, how you're going to live.
That's right. That's another one.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Don't be anxious. So we get all these don't statements.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to church, ask the saints, you know, talk to your friends, try to trap it up, you know, talk to them about your anxiety, try to empty out, try to, you know, get some perspective. And the first thing you get are one of these two scriptures. Okay, J-Bold.
But it doesn't change how you feel.
Come on now. How does it make you feel when people come out the gate with these one-liners?
Like, did you even hear what I just said? Do you see me?
Absolutely. Did you not hear that my dog died? Did you not hear that I just lost my job?
Yeah.
Did you not hear that I had a bad performance evaluation? I feel like I deserved it. Did you feel like somebody that I loved or that was my friend betrayed me?
Yeah.
Like, did you hear me? So, you know, we have to start. One thing. Point number one, JB, I think coming out the gate, as we start talking about anxiety, stress, which is real, first of all, let's just put it out here. Anxiety and stress is normal. It's real. If you live long enough, You ain't even got to live that long because babies be stressed out because y'all don't get them their milk on time, food on time, change their diaper on time. I mean, a whole lot. I mean, stress is real. And you know what the beautiful part about that is that our bodies were wired to handle it. Mm. I mean, God is so good that you know what he did? He designed our bodies to be able to handle stress.
How?
Recognize and handle it. Oh, I'm going to get to that in a minute. You see, J-Bo, you jumping the gun. You jumping the gun. Okay, well, let's go back to scriptures.
Oh, we got to go back.
We got to go back. Okay, so trivia. Who in the Bible do you feel like has stress? Since we're going to spiritualize, let's get here. Because the Bible's real. I mean, those scriptures that we just read are real. They have been my go-to to help me make it through some things. But it didn't stop that stress from coming at me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So who in the Bible? Trivia.
I'm sure Adam and Eve felt some stress after they fell.
And
they couldn't go back to the garden, and God read this list of things that were going to happen about childbirth and how it's going to be hard to work and you're going to have to toil. And all these things entered into the world because they messed up.
Okay, point number one, you get an eviction notice and you may have some stress.
Yeah. That's literally what happened.
I mean, keep it real. They got an eviction notice.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, hey. And then everybody fell as a result of
everybody them. Fell.
Man,
so thanks to them, we all can experience stress and anxiety.
Man.
Then I guess David.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe David was stressed a lot.
What you think about? Who was he running from? Like, what was
Saul?
Oh my God!
Yes, that's right.
Okay, it ain't nothing like somebody being after you.
Yeah.
Okay, so people running after you. David was ducking, dodging in caves, all kinds of stuff. I mean, the Psalms.
Yes.
When you look at the Psalms, it was about David being distressed because Saul was after him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There were
and
several.
Only because Saul was hating on him.
That's right.
Oh, point number two, J-Bone. Your haters will cause some stress.
They will cause you stress
now. Oh my gosh,
now.
When they coming for you from the right, the left, the north, the south. And so haters are in the Bible.
They are.
So just because, you know, you gifted, talented, have great abilities, and it's a good thing you can make a positive contribution to the world, doesn't mean people know they're not going to like it.
That's
they may
right.
come for you, okay? They may assassinate not your body, but your character, your name, all the above. That's enough to cause some stress. Has that ever happened to you, J-Bone? I mean, come on.
It has. Just yesterday.
Oh, say more.
I mean, I was energy transfers. So I was dealing with a partner and in that partnership it's an educator and the teacher was stressed because of evaluations and how she was being rated and she was transferring that energy and stress over to me, and she had a lot of anxiety because her manager would come in and just come in and say, "This is horrible," or, "You know what, I don't like how you did," in the middle of a lesson. And I would be anxious all the time, just in high alert, wondering what is going to happen next and what are the expectations and what am I supposed to do? And that was being transferred. I had to pause and like, well, why is my chest starting to tighten up and I'm feeling all kinds of ways? Well,
they were projecting that onto
projecting.
You.
Projecting.
That happens all the time, too.
Yeah.
So you stress, and stress and energy is transferable. And then as a result of that, everybody in the room stressed because of the transfer of stress. So you know what, man, that's real talk. You know, but I got something else out of that, what you just said. You know, a lot of us in the church and everything, because, you know, we talk about the church here, mental health. That's what we're all about. And so I think that as we are leaders, as we are managers, as, you know, we go into church and we pray for God to give us increase, for God to bless us and, you know, and elevate us.
Yeah.
And then when we get there, we screaming and howling at people, coming for people, treating people all kinds of ways, not realizing that we could be the one that are transferring bad energy.
That's right.
You know, and we shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? And so it's a checkpoint for us. I mean, it really is a checkpoint for me and for any of you. You know, again, it could be a checkpoint for you all as well. You got to look and say, you know, man, am I being the person that is responsible for causing stress in somebody else's life? Because guess what? Life ain't all about that job. It's you got to come home.
Yes.
You got to eat. You got to live. You got to deal with family, relationships.
Yeah.
It's just not all about that job. So I hope that you know, helps us to operate.
Yeah,
capacity.
You said something too about leadership. Like, if you come into a ministry and you're a leader over a ministry and you're bringing that stress and transferring that to the people that you're leading,
you ain't gonna have no volunteers.
Nobody. all the volunteers. You go up
for the church every week talking about, can somebody volunteer? They're like, nah, stay away from that, baby. This negative energy. Yeah. In the church, J-Mo.
Yes.
In the church. So it's something to think about. You know, okay, let me tell you somebody else I think was stressed. Esther.
Why?
She had to go before the king. Xerxes, she had to go before the king.
That's right.
And man, she was like, whoa, I got to go deliver this message, you know, about my and finally, she just had to be like, you know, if I perish, let me perish. But it was on her mind.
It had to be.
That's stressful. Yeah. When you're about to walk into it and you don't know what's going to happen to you.
And you're carrying a whole
people
group.
Come on, I got one more. How about Job?
Job had to be stressed. Had to be stressed. Lose everything.
Your children, your he lost it all. Lost it all. And then had a wife.
Ooh.
The wife came for him and was like, look, she told him, curse God and die.
And die. That's what she said.
Man, that's stressful right there. So you had Job. You know, so man, the Bible is full of stress. But I'm going to lay down. People are like, okay, let's go here. Jesus even had some stress.
Ooh. I mean, we can drop the mic there. What else is there to say?
It's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
You know, remember when he was sweating blood?
I didn't even know you could sweat blood.
Come on now. You can sweat blood. That is actually a physical condition.
Wow.
That is a physical condition wherein, J-Bo, the capillaries up under your sweat glands rupture into your sweat glands, and then you sweat it out blood. It can be the light, it can be dark color blood, but it's blood actually from the capillaries in your sweat glands. Ooh. And so you sweat, it's blood in the sweat. Guess where it comes from, J-Bo?
Where does it come
stress,
from?
Stress, baby.
Wow.
Come on now. Jesus knew he was about to go to the cross.
Yes.
He knew that he was going to carry the sin of the world on him. He knew he was going to be separated from the Father. Even Jesus sweat blood. So guess what? The moral story is, don't come for me talking about, you know, there's no stress. You don't have any stress or anything like that. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not realistic. Does it make sense?
It's
not realistic. No. So, you know, again, I just don't want to demonize stress and anxiety. It is real.
Very.
It is in the Bible.
That's right.
Jesus even had stress to the point of sweating blood. That is a actual physiological condition. And so, again, it's real. So we got to talk about it.
And if he experienced it, who are we to say, you know what, our cliche statement, well, I'm just too blessed to be stressed.
And put it on T-shirts and a bumper sticker. No, you can be blessed. And you're going to be stressed.
And you're going to be stressed.
And you know, and God is so good that he even designed our bodies to handle stress. To be stressed, okay? Because all stress is not bad, J-Ball.
That's right.
Let's just deal with it, okay? All stress is not bad, okay? But there's a difference between stress and anxiety.
Because
that's what we got to go to, all right? So some of y'all are like, man, stress is life.
Things are
going to happen in this world that you're going to be stressed. But I want to kind of differentiate between stress and anxiety.
Well, so I got some definition.
You do?
I do.
All right, come on. Okay, so what are we going to go to first? Stress or anxiety? Which one?
Let's say stress.
All right, let's go.
So stress, this is even in the APA, y'all. Stress is a normal reaction to everyday pressures, but can become unhealthy when it upsets your day-to-day functions. So it involves changes affecting nearly every system of the body, influencing how you feel and behave.
Yes.
But the key there is it's a normal reaction to everyday pressures. It doesn't become unhealthy until it upsets your day-to-day functioning. So we all can experience a healthy amount of stress.
Absolutely. I mean, stress, the thing about stress, so you got stress. You gave the definition of stress.
Yeah.
All right. Now, give me the definition of anxiety.
Now, anxiety is something different. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not the same as fear. Because sometimes we use stress, anxiety, fear, all interchangeably.
Yes, we do.
And why it's not the same as fear is anxiety is usually future-oriented.
Yeah.
Long-acting response broadly focused on a diffuse threat whereas fear is an appropriate present-oriented and short-lived response.
Short-lived, come on.
To a clearly identifiable and specific threat.
I love it. I love it, J-Bo. You gave us a mouthful there, but it's really, really good. Yeah. So, you know, let's just chop it up a little bit so we can have some working definitions and let people know. You know, because some people call stress, man, I got anxiety. No, it doesn't always have to be.
That's
and
right.
You can have stress and anxiety together. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. But let's talk about anxiety. So the difference between stress and anxiety. So anxiety is, it's generalized, okay? It's persistent.
Yeah.
All right. So people that come into my office with anxiety, usually they have feelings of apprehension. I have down here apprehension, uneasiness, or fear. And it lacks a specific trigger. Okay. And oftentimes it's disproportionate to the situation.
Okay.
So what am I saying is that it's something that usually it can happen all of the time. I'm talking about generalized anxiety because there are different types of anxiety and we're going to go into that later. All right.
Yes.
But when you deal with just anxiety as a whole, it's usually generalized. It's persistent. Okay. It can be generalized. It can be persistent. And it doesn't have to have really a trigger for it. You could just be in a chronic state of anxiety and not really have anything that's like setting it off per se.
Yeah.
It's a little different because stress has a specific stimulus.
Yes.
Okay. There is something specific that's causing your stress. So for example, J-Bo, let's say you got to go and do a keynote speech, right?
Yes.
And you start having stress. All right. That's a stressor. The stressor is you got to deliver a keynote, right? So you start having stress. That is a normal physical response, okay? And so it can cause you to sweat. It can cause your palms to get a little sweaty. It can cause your heart to beat, your stomach to hurt. But guess what? One thing about it too, it can also be sometimes stress can help you to be the best version of yourself too.
That's true.
Because a little bit of stress pushes you to like drive. A little bit of stress, if you got to run a marathon, helps you to kick everything into action to do it. But guess what? It turns off. After that stressor is gone, it's done. All right? It's done. Not with anxiety. Anxiety, the stressor doesn't even have to be there. And you still turned on, okay? You still anxious, all right? And so another thing, anxiety. It can be, anxiety is more long-term. It's long-term, especially when you're dealing with mental illness. Anxiety is long-term. It's persistent, okay? Now, again, stress hopefully is short-term. All right. It's short term. It's specific. Once removed, it stops. Once the keynote is over, you go back to baseline. You feel me? So that's the difference between stress and anxiety. Now, when you deal with, anxiety may have a clear trigger, like I said.
But it doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to.
That's right? The key.
That's the key. And it's triggered, stress is triggered by external stuff. You know, again, it's not really internal stuff. It's triggered by external things. So again, anything can cause you stress, but your body turns on and your body turns off. Now, when we're dealing with anxiety is like a general sense of worry. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a general sense of worry. So basically, you just stay in a perpetual state of what's about to happen. You know, it's a constant state of what next. I call it a constant state of what next, all right? Mm-hmm. Wherein, when you're dealing with stress, you're dealing with that one, you're focused on the present moment, the present situation. Mm-hmm. But my people that have anxiety, they don't shut off. They always worry. I call them my worry warts. They're always worrying about what's going to happen. How, and then their body starts responding to that thing. Or they have so it may be something that you may not have to worry about, but they can't, you know, or it's something that's causing you some stress. Mm-hmm. But again, it doesn't cut off because stress can lead to anxiety, okay? Constant stress can lead to anxiety.
Yeah.
So again, it can impair your day-to-day life. anxiety just can totally debilitate you. You can be so anxious, you can't move forward, you can't work. It affects your relationships.
That's right.
It affects where you go, what you do, what you don't do. Anxiety can affect what you let your children do. I mean, you'll put up all kinds of borders around your boundaries because, again, you're trying to respond to this overwhelming fear of the what next. All right? That's anxiety. When in stress, again, you know, it's manageable. You know, it's usually manageable. You cut it on and you cut it off. So, you know, those are some of the differences between stress and anxiety. If you don't get anything else, stress is normal. Okay? It's going to happen. It usually has something. Something stimulates the stress. Okay? You can identify something. All right? I'm stressed because I gotta give a presentation. I'm stressed because I got to get my performance evaluation. I'm stressed because I have to do a dance. I'm stressed because, you know, it's usually something that I got to go into a hard conversation. Yeah, I become stressed. Yeah, as soon as it's over, though, that's gone. All right? Anxiety is persistent worry, okay, about something that oftentimes is not even there. Okay, it's not even present. It hasn't even happened yet, but your body is reacting and your mind is reacting in anticipation of it happening. Does that make sense, Shaymo?
It makes perfect sense. I even love how you brought up Jesus sweating blood, because that was beyond stress. He was persistently worried about something that hadn't even happened yet. He wasn't even on the cross at that moment.
Absolutely.
And he knew the end. He knew that, okay, yes, I'm going to go through this horrible death and experience, but I'm going to come out of this.
That's right.
But he still had intense anxiety.
Right, about that situation. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's stressful, knowing that you're going to go to, you know, what you're about to go through.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, some people are about to go through, and I just want to bring back, some people have to go through some surgeries.
That's right.
Some, you know, you've got to go through some hard things. You're about to have to do that. Having stress about it is important.
Yeah.
If it's keeping you awake at night and you're not turning off, and this thing is happening day after day after day, and it's starting to affect what you do, how you think, what you say, you may have anxiety, and we have to deal with it, okay? Yeah. Then you have, you know, stress disorder. So we're going to talk about those things, because I don't want people to label people things that they may not actually have. Yeah. So again, the anxiety is the what if disease.
Yes,
we call it the what if disease. Yes, all right. And it has to do with our imaginations, because one thing about us as humanoids, we've got imaginations, right?
Oh, good.
And our imaginations can run down the street somewhere. So anxiety, I call it suffering from imagination, because you can think it, you can start ruminating about it, you can start focusing on it, hyperfixating on it. And so that's real important. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I hope that people have they can differentiate between the two, but I also want to talk about how the brain works. So let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, anxiety, you know, response, why stress, how all that works in your brain. I think it's important that we talk about that, because I need you to know that your brain, my brain, was created to deal with stress. All right. But if our brains kind of get out of whack a little bit, and I'm going to show you how that can happen, then I want you to understand why you can kind of lean towards, you know, anxiety, chronic stress. So basically, just think about it like this, J-Bo. So tell me if I'm doing this right. I'm going to try to break it down like a fifth grade, all right? So basically, there are some parts of your brain, all right? So I want to name 3-4 sections of your brain that are important as we deal with anxiety, okay? So you got this part of your brain called the amygdala. I call it Amy, okay?
Okay.
Amy is dramatic, all right? So I'm going to get, Amy
How
is
so?
Dramatic. Because Amy is the one that's responsible. Amy is the part of your brain that sounds the siren, all right? Getting everybody to get turned up because something is happening and it's bad and I'm perceiving it bad. And as a result of that, I'm going to protect you, all right? So Amy, she's the siren of your body. She alarms your body that something is popping off, all right?
Okay.
But then you got the part of your brain. This is the smart part of your brain. It's called the prefrontal cortex. That's Cordy, all right? prefrontal cortex. That's a part of your brain. That's the executive functioning part of your brain. That's the brain that
gets you organized,
structured, helps you to process things, separate this from this. That's the one that helps you to kind of, you know, work through all of the things that are on the table. It helps you prioritize, helps you to stay in order. That's the smart part of the brain. Cortex is smart, okay? Now, then you got the part of the brain, the hippocampus. That's hippo. Hippo is the memory of the brain, okay? So that's the file cabinet of the brain. Hippo keeps everything in, you know, in storage, because sometimes you need to go back through your file cabinet to kind of see, is that safe? Is that not? Like, what were my memories about that? Like, when I was a kid, did that dog bite? Like, you know, so it's a file cabinet, all right? Everybody needs, you got to have a file cabinet, because you got to be able to go back and process what happened before, so you can have, so Cordy, you know, the prefrontal cortex can go over there and say, you know, based on all of the data that I have here, you're good. Okay. Now, then you got the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is the 911 of the brain. Okay. That's like the dispatcher. Okay.
Okay.
And so when told, the hypothalamus starts sending out everybody. It starts sending out neurotransmitters, chemicals through your entire body. And as a result, your body goes into fight, flight, or freeze, okay, to try to keep you safe. The whole goal, JB, is to keep you safe, all right? So yes. I got four parts of the brain,
so all right? Got Amy. Cordy. Hippo.
There you go. And hypo. That's right, the hypothalamus. All right, so those are four portions of the brain. So basically, this is what happens. So I'm walking down the street, J-Bo. Walking down the street. I see a pit bull. Pit bull's name is Betty. Betty is 80 pounds, okay? So Betty is coming towards me. Amy is like, wow! Amy goes off, because Amy goes to Hippo. Hippo pulls the file cabinet. It was like, remember when you were 2 years old, you got bit by a dog and it snipped at you? And so Amy is like, wow! So Amy starts going to Hypo, saying, Hypo, you know, I need for you, forget Cordy, forget the prefrontal cortex that rationalizes these things. Shut her down. I need for you to send everything out here and do this full-fledged alarm, fight, flight, or freeze. I need you to send everything. Go to adrenal glands, send all that stuff out here, adrenaline, all that stuff, so that you can be safe, all right? Mm. So the siren goes off.
Yes.
And as a result, you have a physical response. The physical response is to help you respond to that particular stressor. Now, I said one thing there. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, normally, the normal brain, okay, not under all this stress, you know, you have something that happens, but normally the prefrontal cortex should be able to take what's in the file cabinet. Yes, you got bit when you were two. It wasn't even that. You got a little snip. This dog is on a leash. The owner is 6'8", holding the dog close. You, Amy, turn. You don't have to turn on and pull the siren and send everything through the body. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Normal function brain is able to do that. But when Amy... when something is wrong and the structure of your brain is not functioning optimally, it bypasses Cordy. It bypasses the prefrontal cortex. And you lean to your emotions. As a result of that, your emotions drive that response. You feel me?
Yeah.
Now, usually what happens is that after that event happens, that stressor happens,
then
Amy's like, it's over. Alarm turned off. Another part of your nervous system kicks in. Everything relaxes. You're good. You go back to normal.
Mm.
Well, J-Ball, there are some people that live in a chronic state of stress that Amy turns on all the time. She consistently bypasses Cordy. So bypasses it. Okay. Bypasses it.
Amen.
As a result of that, you can stay in a perpetual state of anxiety. It doesn't even have to be anything. It doesn't have to be a dog or anything. You know, or it could be something real little. Your body overreacts to things. Okay. You may not even know why it's doing it. Okay. But That's the way the human brain works. So again, normally you should be able to go through a normal process, turn on if you need to, because sometimes you may need to run. If you hear a gunshot, you may need to run. Yeah. You know, everything needs to happen the way it happens. But if you're that person that is constantly driven, everything is alarm. Everything is an alarm, and you're not able to process things through CORTI, that prefrontal cortex, that allows you to separate all those things, then it's very possible that the issue is an anxiety type of issue that we need to deal with. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. So that means maybe you might need some medicinal therapy to kind of help your brain
rewire. Because there are chemicals in the brain that are implicated in anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, when you deal with serotonin, I mean, there are certain neurochemicals in the brain that you actually have to deal with, serotonin being one of them. And the reason why I say serotonin, because a lot of what we prescribe for people with anxiety, all right, is what we call a, you know, it's called a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, okay? Zoloft, Celexa, Paxil, Prozac. Those are the medicines that we give to help certain chemicals stay around the brain to help to ease the impact of anxiety, all right? And so, you know, we're going to talk about that. J-Bo, let's come back. I just hope everybody got an idea of, first of all, it's real. Anxiety is real. You don't have to fake it till you make it.
That's right.
If you, you know, the church, we got to start listening to people and understand that it's a real part of life.
Yes.
We got, if you want to go and put a scripture on me about not to be anxious, you need to put the scriptures on me to show me that anxiety is real.
That's
many people in the Bible that God used, you know, experienced had issues of stress and anxiety. And then as a result of that, then you're going to take me to Jesus and say, Jesus even had stress as it pertains to when he went to the cross, so much so that he bled blood. I mean, he, you know, he sweated blood. All right. So again, it's something to think about. It's real. We don't have to hide it. And then when we look at the brain chemistry, we also need to realize that there are certain things that are going on in the brain that are good. Sometimes stress is good. You need it. God wired us for that to keep us safe. But when things start going wrong in that system, which we're going to talk about in a future podcast, then that's what happens. And that's how you can stay in a perpetual state of anxiety. And therefore, we have to treat it. But I want to end with this. You know, something, the Bible tells us what to think on. Okay. And so I want to also say that as we deal with anxiety, man, the Bible is full of cognitive behavior therapy.
Yes,
the moral of the story is this,
what
you got
to
do,
think on.
You got to train your mind to think on certain things so Amy stops going off, all right?
Yeah.
So she can relax, so the prefrontal cortex can do what it needs to do and process through things appropriately and get you back in a balanced state. You feel me? That's all I got on it. What you think, J-Bo?
I mean, that helped me so much. So
man, I hope
hopefully
so.
It helped you all too.
Man, I hope it helped you all as we talked about anxiety, stress. Look, that's what we're all about. We're going to continue to chop it up. And so thank you all for joining, y'all. We'll see you later on the next podcast. Peace.